afternoon, and everyone, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be able to listen only until the question and answer session of the call. This call is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to introduce your host for today's call, Governor Tim Pawlenty. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. And we thought we'd just make ourselves available to you in the heels of our trip to New York, and also address any other questions or concerns that you'd like to talk about. But as to the trip to New York, we've been here for just about 3 days. We had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday meetings. We're coming back tonight. The meetings were primarily built around meetings with the bond rating agencies, specifically Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and today Fitch. Each of the meetings was approaching 3 hours in length. The one today was a little shorter, but they were substantial meetings. We described them as checkups. I will leave to your imaginations what kind of what the appropriate analogy is for the specialty within medicine that these checkups would most closely resemble. But they're pretty thorough meetings, and the folks do some due diligence ahead of time. We send out the written materials a bit ahead of time, and then they, I think, fairly routinely ask for some follow-up in terms of the support and specifics about the representations made in our materials. The state has a bond offering that's going to be next Tuesday, and so in each case, the rating agencies were anxious to hear from us because they want to be in a position to make a pronouncement about our bond rating in advance of the Tuesday offering. We think we'll begin hearing from these agencies as early as Friday, and we thought the presentations went well. We think we had a good story to tell relative to the context of the circumstances of the challenge that we had and the circumstances that we have. Some of the highlights of the presentation include that we wanted to convey to the rating agencies that their guideposts and their expressions of concern and their expectations about what they want to see from states in terms of good fiscal management are important to us in terms of our public policy goals and perspectives. So we take what they say seriously, and perhaps more so than other states, we wanted them to know that what the rating agencies think is an important part of our public policy discussion. You know, there are other factors, obviously, as well, but we often say and refer to what the rating agencies are concerned about or what they're looking for when we talk about budget goals and budget conclusions. So we wanted to signal that, number one. Number two, we wanted to show them that we have a seasoned, experienced, and nonpartisan team that has a good track record in these matters. Number three, we also wanted to show them the intangible of, you know, when you say you're going to do something, you got to be able to deliver. And we've been in communication with these agencies and their representatives over the months since I was elected governor. Those communications have included us telling them what we were going to do, and now we have essentially delivered on those benchmarks. And so we wanted them to see that we, you know, are good to our word in terms of being able to deliver on what we said we were going to do. Those are kind of some intangible factors, and then we went through in fair detail the objective measurements of the state's budget situation in light of the recently concluded legislative session, and then also walk through any questions that they had. But the highlights of the presentation included that we've got a $4.2 billion deficit, and there's a lot of attention that gets paid to the size of that deficit, but what doesn't get reported very often or perhaps gets overlooked is that only a portion of the deficit is recurring. In other words, about $2.4 billion of the projected $4.2 billion deficit is structural or recurring. And that's important because that's about the number, that is the number that we addressed in terms of permanent changes, either in revenue reductions or slowdowns, or I should say spending reductions or slowdowns or revenue increases. So we met the portion of the deficit that is permanent and recurring with permanent and recurring solutions. And that's a good and positive thing. So the one-time adjustments, the shifts that are referenced and oftentimes criticized by some observers, I don't think that criticism is warranted. And what we conveyed to the bond houses is those one-time adjustments are in proportion to the one-time part of the problem. And so we showed that if you take out the reserve money, roughly one-third of the solution is one-time or non-recurring changes, but that is the proportion of the problem that is similarly one-time or non-recurring. So that was a point we tried to highlight. I think they appreciated that. Number two was the fact that we have specific plans in place to build a reserve, currently $522 million, building up to $530 once we make an $8 million adjustment. And then with the November forecast realization that a portion of the federal money will also be added to that, to get that up to nearly $600 million. There's also in law now directives that if there are additional monies in a future forecast, they will be directed to the cash flow account. That's a significant feature from their standpoint. And then we also highlighted the fact that under our budget, we do achieve what they define as structural balance in the 06-07 biennium. And we think that they view that positively as well. So those are some of the highlights. We also walked through kind of our capital financing situation and the debt ratios and how fast we pay off debt in Minnesota. They seem pleased with that. We have a great track record there. We're keeping those proportions in place. And then we talked a little bit about our forecasting models. In Minnesota, we not only look to some national indicators, but we have some unique or custom modeling capabilities in Minnesota that more closely reflect circumstances in Minnesota. And those modeling or forecasting capabilities in Minnesota are give us some enhanced ability that they like, and as it turns out, they were also we believe now on a little bit on the conservative side relative to some national indicators. So as those national indicators now are being adjusted downward, we had already made those adjustments as part of the February forecast. So these recent downward adjustments by national forecasting companies don't affect significantly our forecast, so they think they're pleased with that as well. So we are cautiously optimistic that the information was well received. Again, we'll hear relatively quickly. Commissioner McElroy is here on the line to add a few comments, and then we'll go ahead and open up the lines to any questions that you have. I think it should be noted that the retaining the AAA bond rating is a significant goal for us because it gives us kind of the good housekeeping seal of approval. But as a financial matter, it's more modest. We estimate, given low interest rates, that it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a $10 million impact over 20 years if we go from a AAA to a AA2 or AA+. And so financially, it's has some modest impacts. But more importantly, we want to have that designation as an affirmation that we're headed in the right direction and that there's good fiscal management and discipline in terms of Minnesota. So, Commissioner McElroy, you want to add anything?
No, I think you covered it, Governor. I think we could go ahead and take questions.
We'll go ahead and open the lines to any questions either on the New York trip or anything else that's on your mind.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we are ready to begin the formal question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1. You will be announced prior to asking your question. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, you may press star 1. Our first question is from Mr. Tom Hauser. Sir, you may begin ask your question.
Hi, Governor. Good to talk to you. I had a question about what the level of interest was that they showed in the one-time shifts and also the size of the budget reserve. Did they zero in on those two things, or were there other things that they were really interested in hearing from you?
Well, there were, I think, three main things, Tom. I mean, there's a whole list of things that they're interested in, but in terms of things that were of high interest to them, one was the budget reserve, another was this achievement of structural balance, and a third was whether we used one-time solutions only in proportion to the one-time nature of the problem, and we also met that goal. And these were not foreign to us. These were goals or concerns that they had expressed informally in earlier conversation, so we tried to meet them during our legislative session. So those are three of the biggies. There's lots of other ones they have questions about, which is where's the Minnesota economy headed, and have we properly incorporated, new economic information into our forecasting models and the rest. But if I were to kind of highlight some of the more important ones, it would be those three: surplus, proportionate use of one-time money, and stepping up to the plate and making some permanent changes, and then also that structural balance in 06-07. Dan, you want to add anything?
No, I think that covers it.
Eric Escala, you may ask your question.
Mr. Escala, go ahead.
Yeah. Governor, refresh my memory, which rating agency had you on credit watch, and did they continue to express the concerns that led them to put you on credit watch?
Well, it was three agencies, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. And Moody's is the one that had put us on credit watch. Fitch doesn't use a device like that. Moody's had put us on credit watch before the session got going. It was much earlier in the session, and they had expressed concerns, particularly along these three criteria that I just referenced. They did not talk to us specifically about, you know, credit watch being lifted or under what circumstances it might be lifted and how that relates to any change they might make in our bond rating. So that was left to the side.
Patrick Sweeney, you may ask your question.
Governor, thanks for taking my call. Did the agencies express any concern about the elimination of the inflation factor from the expected expenses?
Pat, that is Dan McElroy. It did come up, I think, in two of the three calls, but it was briefly handled. It was a very short discussion at I believe it was Moody's and Standard & Poor's. Didn't seem to be a major concern.
I would add to that, Pat, we did remind them, as you know, we do still have forecasting for caseload increases or decreases. There are limited inflationary adjustments in the budget, in particularly in the medical cost care cluster. And so the other thing that we tried to highlight is many other states, as they disappointed certain interest groups, they made future commitments for increases in the out biennium that may or may not be sustainable. And so we highlighted as a positive thing that we avoided making those kinds of commitments so we didn't set up false expectations.
Mr. Mark Brunswick, you may ask your question.
Thanks. Hi, Governor. I'm wondering if the bond houses mentioned at all the fact that you didn't use any tax increases to balance things. My understanding is that historically they're not concerned so much about how things are done as that they get done. mentioned at all?
We tried to anticipate that. But, you know, the legend is that they are officially agnostic as to how you get to the number. They just want to make sure you get to the number and that it's reliable. I would hate to speak for them as to, you know, which route or combination of routes they prefer, but that did not come up under direct questioning. I did tell them that, you know, if there was as I've said publicly repeatedly in Minnesota recently, that if there was a catastrophic event or dramatic downturn, we'd have to consider all options, but they really didn't press us on how you got to the number. It was more of did you reliably get to the number.
Patrick Sweeney, you may ask your question.
Governor, would you comment on the report on the May tax receipt collections?
I'll let Dan do that. I also am aware that there's a May-June phenomena in certain of these categories that make relying on the May collections more volatile and unpredictable than normal, but I'll let the commissioner address that.
First of all, we apologize for getting out on the 11th instead of the 10th, but Tom Stinson and I were in New York, and our support staff person was out on the 10th. I think the news is that the revenues are essentially flat. They were up $4 million for May, a total of $59 million since the February forecast. The withholding and sales tax continue to be just slightly, in percentage terms, weak. The increase is accounted for in insurance gross premiums tax and in mortgage and deed tax and in a corporate refunds being lower than anticipated. As the governor indicated, we don't try to track 2002 tax year final payments and 2002 refunds until processing is completed. We expect those numbers to show up in June. And June is a big month for revenue collections because there are 2 months of sales tax collected, and because they're both individual and corporate income tax estimated payments due in June, as well as final processing from 2002 non-extended year-end. And we are cautiously optimistic that revenue will be on track. If it's going to be down, it will not be down dramatically.
Mark Brunswick, you may ask your question.
Thanks. Maybe the commissioner can help me out on this. It's just a general question about how this all works and what the impact would be. Is there any number that you could provide me that would indicate the number of bond offerings, the amount that might be asked for this year by the state, and how that might be affected just this year? I know the governor talked about a 20-year impact, but what's the significance this year of a lowered bond rating?
With the interest rates as low as they are, rate differences between the bond ratings is compressed. In a higher rate environment, you might see the difference between AAA and AA2 be 10 or even 15 basis points. It's more likely to be 5 basis points or 0.05 of a percentage point. We will have two state bond offerings this year, one next Tuesday, the 17th, which is a refunding issue of four 1993 issues. The bond issues total $401 million. The refunding amount is $392 million. I haven't calculated what 0.05 or 5 basis points difference would be. We do anticipate the savings on this to be now somewhere in excess of $40 million over the balance of that term, which is 10 years. We will have a new money issue or an issue for new projects from the 2002 bonding bill and from the refinancing of Trunk Highway cash to bonds in late July or early August. That's not sized as yet, but we anticipate it to be in the somewhere between $300 and $400 million, depending on cash flow needs of projects. The 5 basis points difference is relatively small. The other impact that a rating change has is...
Ken, can you, before you go on, just can you translate what a 5 basis points is?
Yeah, it's 0.05%. And so on $1 million, it's, I believe, $50. It is a relatively small amount. I do not have the calculation as to what the impact is on $392 million over 10 years. This refunding issue is a 10-year issue. I can calculate that or have someone calculate it for you tomorrow, but I just don't have that with me.
And that $40 million figure, Mark, that the commissioner referenced is the difference between the existing issuance and the one that's about to be refinanced. It doesn't represent the differential between AAA and AA plus or AA2.
Thank you, Governor. The bonds we're refunding have coupons plus or minus 5%, and the current rate is slightly under 3%. We have about 2 or 3 minutes till we have to leave to go to our airplane, so if there are any final questions.
Eric Yaskali, you may ask your question.
I'll ask two. You can take them in either order. One is, as you were talking with these financial wizards out there, did you get any inkling about, you know, the strength of a possible recovery that would help Minnesota and other states beef up their revenue collections? And then that's one question. Then, Governor, the other would be, could you just give us some general comments? You're going to be in Marshall tomorrow for the bonding bill signing. The size and the scope and the priorities reflected in that bill, and so future economic growth, did you get any help
sure.
on, and then the bonding bill?
There was a good bit of discussion about future economic growth in terms of the national forecasting and models and kind of references to various forecasters and economists and their views on it, and so there was a good bit of discussion about that. There was a fair amount of discussion about the business investment activity being a trigger point for recovery from here, and it seems like that trigger point keeps getting pushed back another quarter each quarter, and that's been the case for some time. So everybody's, I don't want to say exclusively focused on that, but there's a great deal of attention being paid on when the business investment trigger is going to hopefully reignite or the recovery beyond its current platform. Yeah, lots of discussion about unemployment and wage loss and Minnesota's relative position and all of that, the effects of globalization on the manufacturing sector and other things like that. So there was that certainly was a significant part of the discussion. And then as to our bonding bill, Eric, tomorrow we're going out to Marshall in the morning. I think I'm going to Duluth in the afternoon. But the bonding bill is, I think, a good bill. It picks up about half the vetoed projects from last year. Many of those projects are important in terms of repair and maintenance of our higher education institutions. There's some significant new economic development initiatives in there around healthcare and biotechnology that I like a lot, particularly the translational research facility and the planning for the new building, Genomics and Biotechnology Center in Rochester. So I think overall it's a good bill. You know, obviously there's some compromises reflected in it, but it's a good bill, and I'll be happy to sign it. have time for one more if there's another question or two.
We have one last question,
okay,
sir, for Mr. Bill Salisbury. Sir, you may ask your question.
Bill?
Governor, just to follow up on Eric's question, did the bond rating agencies say anything about this bonding bill? Did they think it was perhaps too ambitious at this time? Or?
No, not at all, Bill. There was no expression of concern about that, and I think that's has to be put in the context of the debt ratios and repayment schedules that we shared with them, and they did express, I think, being a very positive reaction to the way that Minnesota handles its debt in terms of a prompt or accelerated repayment and certain percentages being paid off within 5 years of the overall debt, certain percentages being paid off within 10 years, and we really are exemplary in that regard and continue to be so even with this new bonding bill. Dan, did you want to add something?
Yes, the agencies have seen in other states a tendency to delay debt repayments and to go to level principal rather than the kind of the accelerated schedule we use. Our standard is to pay off 40% of debt in 5 years and 70% in 10 years, and we're slightly ahead of that currently. We're up around 41.25% in 5 years and 71-plus in 10 years, and those are good things from their point of view. Their customers, for their information, are people who underwrite and buy bonds, and so that their interest is in debt that's responsibly issued and responsibly managed.
I should say in closing, we also made good use of our time out here, not only meeting with the rating agencies, but we met with the financial news services to try to make sure they're aware of our story and, this, in our view, the success of the session in handling the situation. We met with Bloomberg, we met with Reuters, we met with the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, and tried to also carry this message forward to them. And those were also broader-ranging discussions, but I think trying to present the state's case there, and we had other meetings as well. And I should, in the other meeting category, so you know what we're up to, we did pay courtesy visits to the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, talked to him a little bit about the two All-Star Game planning-related activities, the state's role in that, and also met with the commissioner of football, Paul Tagliabue, and then also wanted to meet with the other commissioners, but for various reasons were unable to. But those were just courtesy visits in terms of updates. There wasn't new ground plowed or just hello, get acquainted, recap where everybody's been on those issues. So nothing new on that front.
With that, thank you very much. The governor will be traveling tomorrow, but will be back in the office on Friday. I'll be at finance tomorrow if you have specific questions. Thank you for your interest.